We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Monday, it's April 3rd, it's 2023. We have 11 baseball games to talk about here on today's podcast. Joined, as always, by my good buddy, Chief Justice 06, Will Priester. Chief, what's happening, my friend?
I am good, brother. Another day, another slate, more MLB to talk about. Can't be more excited than I am right now. excuse me, I feel like something was in my throat earlier. I'm still trying to work through that. But I'm just excited because I really did put a lot of – I think I talked about this on the previous pod. I put so much work into spring training this year to try to get prepared and be ready to kind of, you know, have a pulse on where I think everyone is. And so far early this season, it's paid off. Rather handsomely. So hopefully we can continue to parlay that information gathering session I did over the past month into some profitability, you know, for the next few starts. We've still got probably, I would say, another one to three starts probably before we get back to some aces. So I'm excited about this next wave that we have coming up here. This is going to be a good slate. I actually really like this slate a lot. I think this is my favorite one so far.
All right, fair enough. Hope everyone had a fantastic weekend. What's up, YouTube? Hanging out with us on Sunday night. If you didn't listen to Thursday or Friday and you're just getting back into the baseball swing of things, we have a Roto Grinders Morning Grind YouTube page. My goal, so I like having goals. I like setting goals for the season. My goal is to have 1,000 subscribers on the Morning Grind YouTube by the end of 2023. So long way to go. So if you enjoy the show, do us a solid. Go over there, subscribe if you want notifications on for when you get to know when we go live. Come hang out with us. We have chat. I like to answer questions in chat. We didn't talk too much pre-show, Will. I'm exhausted. Long night last night. Saturday was exhausting for NASCAR this week with Xfinity trucks and getting Cup stuff up. And then had XM for 2 hours with Beer Makers Fan earlier tonight. So, yeah, I mean, live on XM, I went from winning 15 grand on the last lap of the NASCAR race to winning $400. So, one pass. I went from first to ninth, one pass on the last lap between the 17th and 18th place car cost me 15 grand. Happens. I've been on the other side of that many times, and it's just, man, it never feels good. So what are you going to do? Nothing. Exactly. Let's jump into this baseball slate. I'm glad you're excited for this baseball slate. I think this baseball slate is very interesting because we're getting, you know, number fours and number fives in rotations here on today's slate. We have a big slate. We have 11 games. We got a college basketball championship game. So no NBA on Monday. So big MLB slate with 11 games. We get started here with Philadelphia at New York facing the Yankees. Eight total. Yankees a 164 favorite. Tajon Walker, Nestor Cortez. We'll go Walker first. Any interest here in Tajon Walker?
I actually do. Yankees have been scoring runs, Stevie, but they've been striking out as well. They kind of, it feels to me like the Yankees have been what last year's Braves were. A lot of strikeouts, a lot of runs. And at least early in the season, they've done this all spring training mostly. Tajon Walker was okay in spring training. I definitely think he can get some Ks here. He's 8,700. I don't like the price. I wish he was in the 7K range. But, you know, you'll look in the 7K range on this slate and realize quickly that they kind of had to price him up by it was situationally they had to price him up. So I think he's in the mix. He's probably going to give up some runs or a couple of runs, which I expect from every pitcher every day, even if they're Gerrit Cole. But I still think, you know, he's in a good spot here facing the Yanks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on the opposite end of this. I have Yankees are one of my favorite stacks on the slate. I don't have a ton of interest in Tajon Walker. His strikeout rate dipped last season. Like you said, the Yankees are striking out more this season. Doesn't shock me if you look at the lineup, Judge, Stanton, Donaldson. There's strikeouts here for sure. But there's a lot of power this game in Yankee Stadium, Philadelphia traveling after Sunday Night Baseball to New York. I think this is a tough spot for Walker. And I mean, I could be wrong. He could come out and have a good game. He looked not good. I'll be nice. I'll go the nice version. He struggled big time with command in spring training. So a guy that got absolutely shellacked by Tampa in spring training. I think that this is a really tough spot for him going up against New York. And then the other side, Nestor Cortez. I have a ton of interest in Cortez here. We have slim pickings. We'll call it that. We'll call it slim pickings today as far as pitching goes. And Cortez is coming off of, you know, actually throwing 66 and 74 pitches in his last two spring outings. And I mean, if we can get 85 to 95 pitches out of Cortez in this spot, I think this is a good spot. Philadelphia, they're right-handed heavy, which scares me a little bit, but nothing is going to feel good about pitching when we are this deep into rotations. We're very early in the season, and 3 weeks from now, we'll have number one starters. We'll have number three starters. You know, we'll have all kinds of different, like, spread out. This is not that case this early in the season. People aren't getting days off and stuff yet. So what are your thoughts here on Cortez?
Yeah, Cortez is on my short list of two or three guys that I think are going to have really good games today. I've got another guy that we'll get to later that, once again, Steve, I'm parlaying some spring training information into a lot of these plays right now to try to make some headway. But Cortez, you know, we saw the Ks during spring training. I think his last start, he didn't really get the Ks. But I don't really rank that one as value that as much as I do some of the ones in the middle. Because I always felt like the last start, they're trying to just get through, not necessarily hurt themselves, you know, stuff like that. So I think Cortez is going to be fine. Philly, another team that strikeouts can be had right now. You know, we know Harper's still out. We know that Rhys Hoskins done for the year. So it's an interesting Philly lineup. Most of these guys they have playing right now played during spring training, like Jake Cave, who came over from Minnesota, and a lot of these other guys. So bottom line, Cortez rightfully priced the highest on this slate, like him a ton.
Philly bats, I mean, if you're on the opposite of end of Cortez here, he does give up a lot of fly balls to right-handed hitters. So I think chasing some home runs here with like an Alec Bohm, a Nick Castellanos, a JT Realmuto, Trey Turner. I don't hate, you know, potentially taking some shots on teams that I don't have Cortez, because I do think at the end of the day, we're going to see Cortez have pretty high ownership today because of how this slate shapes up. So, you know, kind of getting into that contrarian game theory mindset, there's some right-handed power in this lineup, so I don't mind, you know, playing the opposite end of this side.
Yeah, I don't ever expect, like I said previously, any pitcher to not give up runs. If I was going to take one guy, it's probably Trey. He'd probably be my main target. But I think the difference in this slate and some of the other ones is we got 11 games. I think I got enough bats to pick from to not have to run it back or run a bat against my pitcher. So I think I'm going to take that route today. But I still like Trey Turner.
All right, Yankees bats. I've already kind of said it. I think the Yankees are a top stack on today's slate. Judge, Rizzo, Stanton, and then kind of build from there, depending on who's in and who's out of the lineup. We have a lot of fly ball hitters. We have a great ballpark for home runs, and we have Tajon Walker, who struggled a little bit with command, gives up a ton of hard contact against all these fly ball guys. What are your thoughts on the Yankees bats?
Yeah, I don't hate the Yankees. I'm probably not going to stack the Yankees today, but I don't like. I will one off the Yankees for what it's worth. So you talked about the power bats. You know, we've got Mr. Volpe, who he's probably going to steal more bases if he gets on. So got, you know, the stolen base value, Stevie. Maybe that's something we talk about later. I think that's a big deal this season so far. We've already seen stolen bases really climb just to kick off the season. I think I saw a stat where last year on opening day, there were maybe 5 or 6 stolen bases total. And I think this year it was in the 20s. So the stolen base is a big deal, guys that can run. So I think Volpe is just on the list from a pure stolen base upside perspective. But like I said, I don't think I'm going to stack the Yankees, but I don't mind the one-offs.
All right, cruising along here, we got Tampa Bay at Washington. 8 total in this game. Tampa, 185 favorite. Drew Rasmussen, Trevor Williams. We'll go Drew Rasmussen first. Well, this might be my favorite pitcher on today's slate. The Washington lineup, it just doesn't look great to start the season. I know they're missing some pieces, and it doesn't look good. There's not a lot of power in this lineup. It looks like a bottom five offense. And again, like Rasmussen is someone who gets probably 80, 85 pitches here, has looked pretty good in spring training, 56 pitches his last time out. I have a hard time not getting to Drew Rasmussen today.
Yeah, I'm going to be avoiding Drew.
Yeah. Well, you got to tell us why. I just talked about why I love him. You got to tell me why you don't like him.
I don't think Drew has enough upside. Like I know Washington's bad on paper and they're probably bad in real life too, but I don't think the Rays are going to push Drew deep even if he's pitching well. Like if he's through 6 innings and has 3 strikeouts, like I don't think I'm going to lose with that type of performance. Even if he has 4 and giving up like a run or two, I don't think I'm going to lose. I've got another guy like in this range that I think is way better anyway, or 2 guys really. So I don't think Drew has enough upside for me, so he's going to get the fade today.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, we don't always have to agree. That's the best part of the show, right? At the end of the day.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying. You know, we've seen Tampa kind of in that 75-80. Pitch count range for most of their starters to start the season. So, I mean, if you give Rasmussen 80 pitches against Washington, you said 6 innings. Give me 6 innings with 3 strikeouts and I'm in. I'm looking at this slate going, I mean, there's just not a ton of options.
I just say one thing sidebar, like 15 seconds?
Yeah.
Jeffrey Springs. That's my sidebar. That's it.
Detroit's bad. Detroit's really bad.
But 12 though. My gosh.
Yeah. In 81 pitches. 81 pitches. So, Yeah, I mean, I just, when looking at the slate as a whole and looking at like Rasmussen, like he's good. He's a good pitcher. There's strikeouts in this lineup. There's five guys over 20% against right-handed pitching. So I think with the strikeouts, the lack of power, I'm going to sign up for Drew Rasmussen today. Going to the other side, Trevor Williams had a spring training outing this year that he threw 93 pitches in. So I don't think you necessarily have to worry too much about his pitch count. I just think you have to worry a little bit about his pitching ability. I was nice. I was nice to him there.
Yeah, I don't look, I'm not playing Trevor Williams because Trevor Williams is just not good. Not for what we need him to be in fantasy. Like, so for instance, we'll play Trevor Williams against Detroit. Well, you know, like some of those teams, not today against Tampa. He gets the X button.
I will say, like, Tampa's lineup doesn't grade out to be like this end all amazing lineup. We saw them this Saturday. I think they scored like 12 runs on Saturday. I think they're going to perform them better than they did last season as far as just like overall. So I like the Tampa bats here. I mean, Franco parties, a Rosarina. I think that this is definitely like a secondary stack I think you can play today. Williams, a lot of fly balls, a lot of hard contact. Definitely better against righties than he is against lefties. 8% K rate against lefties. So like a guy like Franco, even if you just want to target him as like a one-off here, I think this is a great spot for him.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So Franco is definitely a guy I'm going to be interested in on most days just because the guy just gets hit, Steve. And even if they're not cranking out right now, like he just gets hits. He gives you fantasy production. He's got stolen base upside. So he's going to be a big target for me today on this slate. And I'm with you. I totally agree. I don't mind him as a secondary stack. You know, they've got, you know, some cheap guys like Manny Margot who you can plug in there. So I like that a ton. I'm with you 100%.
Any interest in the Washington bats here?
No. Zero Washington bats.
You're gonna convert to the Drew Rasmussen side by the end of the day. There you go. All right. we got a high scoring game here. We got Pittsburgh at Boston. 9.5 total. The Red Sox, a 178 favorite. Hoan Oviedo against Cutter Crawford. Any interest here in Oviedo?
So, Stevie, this is a mixed bag for me because I feel like I'm going to trust the long-term numbers on Oviedo, and I'm going to say no. He had a couple spring training games that were okay, like as he was getting ready to close it out. But I'm going to stick long-term here on a guy like him versus, say, a guy like Jeffrey Springs, who's up and coming, has already shown the ability and is improving or has improved. So I think I'm going to take the fade on Johan. This is a game where I think Boston scores runs anyway. So I think I'm taking the fade. But he's someone I have my eye on to begin the season. If he comes out in this Boston game and let's say – he don't even have to go like 8 strikeouts. If he goes 5 innings, 5 strikeouts, and is clean, even if the pitch count has run up a little bit, I'm going to take notice of that because we did start to see some of his strikeout stuff pick up in spring training. And so, but I'm not going to value that as highly today. So he gets the X button.
Yeah, my problem with him is like above average against righties, struggles against lefties. You look at the Red Sox lineup right now, and a lot of the power is left-handed. And a lot of the contact guys are right-handed. So yeah. I think it's a tough matchup for him overall.
Tell that Adam Duvall who just cranking out fantasy points.
Listen, man, walk-off the other night. He shouldn't even have gotten that bat. But, hey, as a Red Sox fan, we'll take it.
Yeah.
All right, so the other side of this game, we have Crawford. We saw him throw about 70, 77-ish innings last year, if I remember correctly. And the dude just can't get a lefty out. He cannot – get a lefty out. Where the concern is there's not a ton of lefties, but there's enough, right? Cruz, Reynolds, Santana, Choi, Bay, if they let him hit towards the bottom of the order. I think there's enough lefties in this lineup that I don't want to take shots here on Cutter Crawford.
Yep, I understand. 5,800, any other slate, Steve, if he was 5,800, I might actually consider it. Like, when you've got, like, real big aces on the slate. But I think in this one, I'm with you. I don't think we need to play him here.
All right, let's go Pittsburgh Bats. I mean, kind of priced up, but I kind of like them still. I like Cruz and Reynolds a lot in this spot. If Crawford struggles against lefties this year, both of these guys top end of the lineup. Do I full stack? Maybe. I don't know yet, but I mean, Choi, Santana, they're not like these end-all first basemans, but I mean, if you're going to play Pittsburgh, you're likely going to end up on one of those two guys. If they let Bay hit towards the bottom of the order, I don't mind him. He's really cheap, kind of offsets Cruz and Reynolds a little bit. So I have some interest here in Pittsburgh, the lefties.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, Stevie, they're actually not as cheap as you think they are anymore either. That's the interesting part. But so I'm with you. I don't hate some miniature Pittsburgh stacks here. You know, maybe 2 to 3 men deep. I think that's probably the formula if you're going to use Pittsburgh. And actually, this team may fit in well with some 5-mans on DK if you decide to go that route. So I'm with you 100%. Don't hate the Pittsburgh best at all.
And then going over to the Red Sox, I mean, this is both bad, both sides. I mean, you could play the platoon here. I think any of these left-handed hitters are in play against Oviedo. And then, I mean, if you're going to start playing the lefties and you're stacking Red Sox, I mean, I don't mind getting some Justin Turner or Adam Duvall because they're both under 4K. But, I mean, now my only concern with, like, Justin Turner is he is first base only eligible on DraftKings.
Very true, 3,900, but it's so cheap, Steve. Like, you might be able to get away with it if this stat comes through.
But my problem is I want to play Cassis at 2,600.
I get it. I think we'll do this, Stevie, like how I do maybe in some of the prop streets. I got the same guy, like two different props, fantasy points and total bases. And I just split the cards and play them both. And maybe that's what you do in this situation. You play Turner and you play Costas. I mean, I'm with you, though. Like, this game should be really good for fantasy production. I mean, obviously, he's 2,600, definitely the better price point play. I really like Verdugo here, though, just because of just being able to pick up fantasy points. Like, I like guys like that. Even though he's probably not going to hit a home run here, like, I think he can pick up enough fantasy points in this spot.
Especially if he bats leadoff, he's someone that has no problem running. You mentioned, stolen bases up this season. We were talking about it on XM earlier. Like, it might be at the point where you could target like speed guys for your like punts instead of like trying to find one off power.
I agree with that take 100%. I love that call.
All right, so we got Toronto at Kansas City, 8.5 total. Blue Jays, a slight 126 favorite. We got Jose Berrios going against Brady Singer. Any interest here in Berrios?
No, and Steve, Berrios is all over the place. Feels like all the time. He's going to get some strikeouts. I think he's going to give up enough runs to negate his fantasy score being worth it for the price of 9,100. Too many control issues, even through spring training. Look, like I said, he'll have some games, but I think I'm going to be very profitable avoiding Jose Berrios most days this season. I'm going to commit to that. I think we're perfectly fine fading him at 9,100. I think he's too expensive for the possible lack of production we're going to get from him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I disagree with you at all. To be honest, I was going to bring up his woes in spring training as well, but we're also like seeing him come off of, okay. So like his rookie season was his lowest like strikeout total and stuff. But this is like the lowest strikeout rate and swinging strike rate that this guy has had since his rookie season in 2016. So coming off of a season where He gave up a lot of home runs. He struggled. He had a really high whip. We saw just didn't have it all. He just didn't have it all. Struggling in spring training. I mean, I think the Kansas City bats are kind of sneaky here more than I think Berrios is a guy that I'm going to be heavily invested in, if any. Going to the other side of this game, Brady Singer. I think Toronto's still in that territory where at the end of the day, I don't want to play a lot of right-handed pitchers against them. Low strikeouts, power throughout, good hitters throughout. You could do crazier things than playing Singer in this spot, but I know he's very good against righties, and this is a very right-handed heavy team. And you can make that argument because of the pitching that we have on this slate. But I don't think I can do it at 8,900.
Yeah, and man, that's kind of where I am. Like
7,500, and then this is a completely different conversation.
Yeah, and that's really what it is. Like, so in a nutshell, do I think Charlie Morton should be 96 and he should be 89? No, but I think I'd take Singer over Morton this matchup, but I've still, like, I think he's in this odd enough place today, Stevie, with kind of the lack of bottom end talent, that I may just play him, like, enough. Not, like, load up on him, but a few shares just in case, because in terms of upside, he's probably at this stage in his career, he probably has more upside than Morton Gray. And for sure, Berrios. And that's really what I think what I'm doing if I'm taking Singer today. It's just an upside play. Like, I'm not committing to it. Like, yeah, this is the guy. But he's got enough upside to burn us, I think, if we go complete fade on him. So that's my rationale behind Singer.
The more I actually think about this, the more I like him, I think.
He's got way more upside than Berrios, Gray, and Morton. Cortez is the only guy I think that's like,
oh, there's a guy.
Well, now I've got to. My favorite guy is probably your favorite guy. We're probably on the same favorite guy.
We'll see, but there's a guy. A guy. I mean, the more you look at this spot, right, the more you look at this is a very right-handed heavy lineup. My concerns are still valid. It's a low strikeout team with power throughout, good hitters throughout. Bunch of ground ball hitters at the top that, you know, kind of fuel off of a fly ball pitcher. And I mean, he is anything but a fly ball pitcher. 24% Ks last year, 5% walks. And if you look at his numbers against righties, 277 WOBA, 0.09 ISO. Strikeout rate goes down against righties, though. I mean, that's my biggest concern. There's going to be a lot of contact here. He's a sinker ball pitcher, and he generates more strikeouts with his sinker slider combo against lefties than he does against righties. So, I don't know if I X him out. Maybe one of three teams, maybe. But
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I like that call.
I think he's at least worth having a conversation on with the pitching that we have on today's slate. So the other side of this is the bats. Any interest here in the Toronto bats?
I think I'm one off in Toronto, if anything. Just, you know, kind of looking through some bad at ball profile stuff. I'm really not committing to Toronto as a full stack. I mean, like they're a good team. They're going to score runs, but I don't think I want to fully commit. So it's just one off. You know, one off in Vlad, one off in Springer, one off in Varsho. Like that. That's kind of the approach I take. Maybe a one off on Kirk. He's 3,700, not completely priced up like some of the other catchers, or like Perez. Excuse me. So. I don't hate that. I don't think I'm going to stack Toronto today, though.
Yeah, I mean, most slates, I think you can get away with stacking Toronto, and I'm not going to sit here and say don't stack Toronto. I just don't know if this is the right spot. Singer, sinker ball pitcher, looking at their numbers against sinkers, they struggle against sinkers. I mean, the more I look into this, the more I have interest in Singer.
Listen, how I felt today when the Braves were facing Mackenzie Gore. And it's as stupid as it sounds, you pull up those slider numbers and it's like, whoa, I don't think I can play these stack them up. And sure enough, they go out there and just wet the bed. You know what I mean? Like, so I get it. I totally get it.
The one guy, I mean, Vlad has amazing numbers against sinkers. So if you want to play anybody, yeah, maybe Vlad. But he also hits the ball a ton on the ground. So, I mean, maybe Singer is more in play. I mean, I'll do my more in-depth, like, look at it tomorrow morning. And if you have Roto-Grinders Premium, I'm on Expert Survey and on HQ tomorrow for some stuff. So I'll have some more thoughts there, I guess. But bats on the Kansas City side. Is this a spot where we don't see a lot of, like, ownership on Kansas City? I think they're sneaky. I think they're a sneaky stack today.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, remember, I don't like Berrios, Stevie. I think he's very erratic. And what happens is when and you've played baseball, he's going to work himself into probably, Stevie, I would say out of 10 bats, I'm thinking he's going to work himself into 3 or 4 3-2 counts. And that's where they're going to stick it to him. Either he's going to walk him, or he's going to have to offer up something hittable, and he's going to get burned. So that's where I am on this. I'm with you, man. Kansas City full-on stack for me today. Love this team in terms of, you know, what we're going to get. I mean, you got Bobby Witt out there. Dozier's 2,500. If he cracks a lot, we might get Matt Duffy today, considering we may get them both. But either way, I love Kansas City today. Pasquantino is probably going to play at 3,900, another cheap first baseman if you want to get some action with him. And then, you know, right now, Stevie, we've got Salvador Perez under 5K. This is a great spot. If Berrios offers it up over the plate, he's one guy that'll send it out of the park. I like the Kansas City stack.
Yeah, you know how much I hate paying up a catcher, but if you're stacking Kansas City, I think you have to have Perez in your stack. It's just like all year when we talk about Baltimore all year, if you're stacking Baltimore, you have to have Rutschman in your stack. So there's just going to be a few times that you have to pay up a catcher. And you know me, I do not like paying up a catcher. I mean, Massey, he's cheap at second base eligible. If he hits fifth or sixth here, he's someone with a little bit of speed as well. So there's some cheap pieces you can build around here. But yeah, I mean, my main two pieces would be Witt and Perez, and then kind of go from there on how I want to build out even like a secondary or full on Kansas City stack today. But I think overall they're a sneaky team to look at today. All right. We got Atlanta at St. Louis. No total anywhere. I looked and looked. I couldn't find anything. Charlie Morton going up against Jake Woodford. Charlie Morton went 12 days in between his like last start in spring training. And I mean, he threw 70 pitches and then he went 12 days and only threw 22 pitches. I read that he was dealing with a little bit. I don't know what to think here with Charlie Morton. Like, I mean, he's going to get a lot of righties, but I am concerned. I am very concerned when it comes to Charlie Morton, as far as how deep he actually pitches in this game.
I'll give you a little bit of perspective on this, Steve. You see, this is all the spring training homework I did. So what the Braves did for the last start for all the pitchers, not just him, they basically had a cap on them. So if you go back and you look at Max Fried, he had a cap. I think he only went 30-something pitches, no more than 40. Same thing for Strider. Same thing for all these guys. Morton was included in that bunch. So I actually think he's going to be okay here. I think that's more his last start. I think that's more of the Braves putting a cap on their like main starters pitch limit that last start. So if you go back last week, you'll see where they just really, they cut them off. Basically they said, no, you're not going to full game. They pitched 3 or 4 innings max and all of them were pulled. And those were 3 consecutive days. I think it was Fried, Strider. And then I think Morton was the next guy up, but if you go back and look at it, you'll see what I'm saying. Like they just cut them off. So I'm actually not too afraid. We did see St. Louis open up a good can of some scoring today. It had a big inning of some back-to-back home runs. I think that was more Bassett being bad, and he's been bad in spring training too, Stevie. I think that was more Bassett being bad than St. Louis turning it on. St. Louis had been struggling at the plate. I said all that to say I'm going to play some Charlie Morton today on principle. I think there's a few strikeouts here. A couple, you know, younger guys behind Arenado and Goldschmidt. And those guys are righties anyway, so Mort should have a much easier time, even though those are really good hitters. I'm going to play some. I don't like the price. I think he's too expensive, but we don't have as many options today. Mort is on the list.
I mean, definitely an offense that can get four or five lefties in there this year, where, I mean, the last 2 years, I don't know if that was necessarily the case. Morton, much better against righties. So I am on the fence on Morton. The 12 days in between start, I mean, I hear everything that you're saying, but going 12 days in between starts and there's no simulated, like, bullpen, like, notes or anything with him makes me feel like it might have been something more than just, I mean, he's a veteran, and I get it, and I get everything, but, I mean, at the end of the day, low strikeout offense, pitching's weak today. He's expensive. I want to see ownership. I want to see what this lineup looks like. If they roll out five lefties in a low strikeout lineup, I don't know how much Morton I'll play today at his price point. When I'm already in my head, I'm concerned about just how deep he's going to go in this game in general. So,
totally get it.
To give you an idea, he threw 78 pitches last year in his first start. So at this price, it's tough. It's tough. The slate is tough when it comes to pitching, and I get it, but it's tough. Jake Woodford on the other side, the Braves are good, man. They're one of the best offenses in baseball. Do you have any interest here in Jake Woodford?
No, I'm not playing any Jake Woodford today. Just not.
I mean, we've seen a little bit from him just in general. We saw a little bit of him in 2021. We saw a little bit of him last year just in general. I mean, not a big strikeout guy. Very low swinging strike rate, very low strikeout guy. Tries to pitch to ground balls and pitch to contact. I mean, he threw 48 innings last year and only 24 strikeouts. A lot of that was out of the bullpen. And then in 2021, he started 8 games, and we saw his home runs go up and his strikeouts kind of stay the same. So I don't have a lot of interest, if any interest, here in Woodford. I have some interest in the Braves bats. And I mean, most days I'm going to have interest in the Braves bats. Talk to me here about Atlanta.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Braves, definitely a team we're going to be targeting today. And in my opinion, Stevie, just kind of, you know, looking over their lineups, they've still got enough cheap pieces for you to really put together some quality things. So Sean Murphy's 3,600. D'Arnaud is 3,800. Olsen's 49. Hasn't cracked 5K yet. Albies is 46. They'll play some RC as well. He's 2,700. Riley's 52. And then you've got Acuna at 62, but Harris is 38, Ozuna's 3K, Rosario's 2300. I like the Braves salary construction here. You know, if I play the Braves, I want to play Acuna, but I still feel comfortable enough with these prices to almost take the fade on him at 6200. I'm not saying I'm going to, I'd much rather have him, but he's the only guy that's really pushing the limit here. Everybody else are pieces we can get. Love the Braves as a stat.
St. Louis bats, any interest here in the Cardinals?
Not really. I don't think I'm really gonna play St. Louis today. I know Tommy Emmett's at the top on the switch, and you know, but I don't think I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's more of it just comes down to ownership. If Morton's going to be highly owned, I mean, I might take some shots on some of these Cardinals bats. I might play them as like a 4-man stack or something along those lines. So it's really, to me, it depends more on ownership than anything else. So I want to see what the ownership looks like here for Morton, mostly Morton, because I think if Morton's highly owned, we see pretty low ownership on the Cardinals bets. All right, we got Baltimore at Texas. And just really quick, like, it's way too early in the season not to have interest in a team just because of a matchup. Like, it's these guys are not locked in 100% yet. Baltimore at Texas, 8.5 total. Texas, a 154 favorite. We got Kyle Bradish going up against John Gray, who actually looked pretty good in spring training. Any interest here in Kyle Bradish?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I mean, I don't think so, Stevie. I on this slate, you know, could he put up 12 points? He probably could. I think I've got enough with these kind of mid-range, upper mid-range guys and, you know, and Cortez to get me there. I don't think I have to kind of hang out at the bottom of the barrel today, so I'm just not going to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see what the lineup for Texas looks like. If they have a lineup that they can roll out that has a lot of strikeouts in it. So if that lineup is one that we see, Bradish is a pretty average strikeout pitcher. His biggest issue is just the amount of hard contact that he allows. So I want to see what the lineup looks like for Texas. He's cheap. There are some expensive stacks that I don't mind taking some shots on here. So I don't think he's the craziest thing to potentially look at Bradish, depending on the lineup and ownership. And then going to the other side, John Gray, I mean, Baltimore is going to be a tough team this year. They have a really, let's just call them a really solid lineup overall. John Gray.
Still young too. Still young.
Yeah, for sure. John Gray had a good spring. He had a good season last year. It was a nice bounce back year for John Gray. 25% Ks, 29% against righties. What are your thoughts here on John Gray?
I think Gray's okay at 9,200. He's on my list. Like, I think my philosophy with this slate, Stevie, is I've got my main guy that I like more than everybody. And I'm going to go as far as to say on DraftKings, I'm just going to hit the lock button on him for what it's worth. And then from there, that's where I start plugging in Cortez, plugging in Morton, plugging in Gray, plugging in Singer. That's the approach I'm going to take. So Gray is on my list today. 9,200, cheaper than Morton, a little bit more expensive than Singer, more expensive than Berrios by $100, which I think is just crazy. But that's where we are. All that to say, definitely going to get some great exposure.
Baltimore Bats, any interest here in Baltimore?
Once again, I think if I'm doing that, Stevie, it's just a one-off. Maybe I grab a guy like Cedric Mullins. If he gets walked, gets a base hit, he's going to run. He's going to do it. And Stevie, something else that, God, I feel like I'm talking so much in these shows right now. It's just because of some of the new changes, and it's so exciting. But they try to pick off these guys twice, then they can't do it anymore, Stevie. So these guys get massive leadoffs. It's like a free stolen base. That's why these guys it's so important. So I really like, you know, these types of players. So Mullins is on my list. You know, just kind of, even though he's expensive, my short list of guys that have true stolen base upside, game to game to game now because of the new rules.
If you're going to stack Baltimore, don't forget about Rutschman. The other side of this game, the Texas side, I mean, Texas has a great pitching rotation. They're going to be very tough against lefties this year too, just kind of looking at some of the guys that they have on the bench. But, I mean, against righties, there's not a ton of power. I mean, Seager, Lowe, Marcus Semien, Garcia. I mean, the top end of this lineup is good. It'll be interesting to see how Josh Young kind of plays out this year. Big time like power prospect. What are your thoughts on Texas?
Yeah, I like Texas today, especially Seager. At 4,600, I feel like he should be 5K. Like I don't feel like him and Semien should have too much of a pricing disparity. So I'm getting a little discount with him. So I like him a ton. You got a couple other players like Brad Miller's been playing. He'll probably see a little bit of time today. He's 2,400. So I like Texas as a little. I'm not going to go full five man, but four and under, I'm good with Texas.
All right, we are cruising right along here. Detroit at Houston. This game has an 8.5 total. Houston, a 230 favorite. Matt Boyd against Hunter Brown. Matt Boyd, any interest in him?
Listen, ironically, Steve, I am going to play a little bit of Matt Boyd. He actually had a very interesting spring training.
Yeah, big strikeouts.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it was incredible. I mean, I feel like it was like 5 to 7 strikeouts a game. Now, he did tail off a little bit at the end, but all in all, in terms of strikeouts, so I'm interested. I want to see if he carries it in. He's not my main target, obviously. But once again, another guy to rotate in and out of that second slot. So at 7,200, I think he's a guy that's worth sprinkling in because of the upside that he could possess here. I really wish he could get out of Detroit and just go to a better team, because I think he could benefit a playoff contender. You know what I mean? But, hey, it is what it is.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's some stuff, like, going around. Like, he got scratched from his Grapefruit League outing last time out, but it was not, like, an injury. He threw a simulated bullpen type of game. So I think he's good to go. I like what I was looking at as far as, like, spring training numbers. I just don't know if this is the right spot. My concern is it just not the right spot? Houston, very good against lefties. They have really low strikeout numbers against lefties. They have a really good lineup. So I just worry about it being the spot. We are also very low, I mean, on like pitching options today. So like, I get why you would take some shots on him in large field tournaments.
Yep, that's all it is.
Yep. The other side of this game, Hunter Brown, big time prospect. This kid has electric stuff, electric stuff. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about him, obviously, this year coming into the season. My biggest concern is everything I've read is they want to limit his innings this year. Yeah. So this is his first start of the season. I'm worried about, like, ceiling upside on that. But, I mean, you don't get many better matchups than getting Detroit. So what do we think, Will, pitch count-wise, we're going to be looking at here for Hunter Brown?
I think they're going to limit him. I'm thinking 60, maybe 65 pitches. Like, and here's where I'm saying that, because I'm sure you've looked at spring training too, and I followed him the whole time. They pretty much limited him in spring training too, Stu. Like,
they limited his innings. They weren't limiting his pitches. He got to a certain inning number, he threw after on a few of those starts, from what I was reading.
Yeah. So I still, man, I don't. First start, the thing is, he's facing Detroit. That's the conundrum I think we're in. If he was facing not a bad team, not a good team, maybe let's go the Chicago White Sox, who they just got done playing. Maybe I'm like, I just maybe avoid him at all costs. It's a matchup with Detroit, and so at 7,400 with, you know, some of the things we've seen, Stevie, I mean, he could go out in 4 innings and maybe pick up 6 strikeouts here. And if he doesn't give up any runs, like at 7,400, he's actually okay. So that's really where I'm at. I think I don't really want to play him, but it's a matchup with Detroit. And so I think I get a sprinkle, kind of like Boyd. I think that's the approach I take.
I'm on the fence. I think it's a great spot. I really do. We're going to pick on Detroit all year again. Like, they're going to be a team that we pick on all year. This lineup is not good. There's a lot of strikeouts in this lineup. They're not good. You know, we just watched Springs dominate this team. Obviously he's a lefty, but look at the numbers that these guys have against righties, and it's worse. So yeah. I want to see two things. I want to see if we get any kind of report from the team. I'm with you. I think 65 pitches is kind of what we see here. 4 innings. I think it's 4 innings. I don't know pitch count. I think it's 4 innings. So
that's where I'm at.
I mean, in 4 innings, he could strike out 8 against this team. So, I mean, you know, the upside's there. I also want to see.
I get it.
Yeah, I also want to see ownership. Like, what are we going to project Hunter Brown ownership wise? Is he going to be chalk here? Because if he's chalk, it takes one bad inning. It takes one bad inning for a young pitcher that they want to limit anyway to get out of there. So I have interest in Brown. I do. I'm not playing Detroit bats. I have no interest in Detroit bats whatsoever.
Yeah, same here. Negative.
It's going to be most of the year. All right, Houston against lefties. I mean, Pena had good numbers last year. Bregman, we know how good he is against left-handed pitching. Abreu adds another good left-handed or good right-handed bat against lefties. Hensley is someone that in a small sample size last year is solid. You know, what are your thoughts here on Houston bats?
Yeah, I think if I'm playing anything, I'm kind of going to one off Houston. I don't really have any. I haven't really come across too many favorite stacks so far. Excuse me. Outside of, you know, obviously this Boston game has some goodness, and you know, like Kansas City against Berrios, like Atlanta. So I think I'm just going to one off Houston. I do believe Bregman is really going to pick it up here this season early on, and he's actually been hitting the ball really well. Or getting ready to hit the ball pretty well. So I like Bregman at 5K. He's definitely a one-off target for me in this spot.
Cleveland at Oakland. Yeah, Cleveland at Oakland. Zach Plesac, James Kaprielian, 7.5 total. Cleveland a 150 favorites. Any interest here in Plesac?
No, I think I've got my 7K guys for today in Boyd and Brown. And I don't think Plesac is better than those two in the strikeout department. He's got a longer leash than Brown for sure. But at 7,900, I'm going to take the fade mainly because I've got a group of pitchers that I like. He's just going to be right outside the cut.
Yeah, I mean, upside-wise, he's not like the biggest upside guy on the slate. But, I mean, if you're wanting a guy to throw six – potential clean innings, he's definitely at the top of that kind of list. Right. His upside's just limited. He's not a huge strikeout guy. Oakland lineup's awful. I mean, they're one of the worst lineups in baseball. We're already starting to see that trend where they're going to struggle all year against right-handed pitching. So, I mean, for that reason, I mean, Plesac's okay. It's just his ceiling's limited. He's not a huge strikeout guy. I do think that, like, he throws 90-plus pitches here. He had 74 pitches in a start in spring, so I think stretch-out-wise, I'm not concerned at all about that. I think he throws decent. He's not a big strikeout guy, and, you know, you need him to be on his control game, so maybe the umpire matters in this one. Any interest here in James Kaprielian?
No. Mm-mm. Not against this team.
Yeah, I mean, not the scariest lineup. They just don't strike out. I mean, at the end of the day,
that's all it is.
Yeah, you know, we're trying to target teams with high strikeout rates, and I mean, they just don't strike out. Kaprielian's a 17% K rate guy. I'm with you on this one, Will. I don't have a ton of interest. I also don't think this is going to be a very high scoring game. So, like, I don't know if I'm stacking Cleveland here. I mean, I think you could play Kwan or. I think you can play Jose Ramirez on any slate, but I don't know if I get like a full Cleveland stack going here.
Yeah, I don't mind some pieces. Like you talked about Jose Ramirez, he's 6K. The thing about Cleveland, Stevie, is it's the stolen bases, man. Like Kwan 38, you talked about him, Jose. Like some of these guys can run. And so I think that's the benefit to maybe, you know, one-off, you know, taking a little two-man from Cleveland. But I don't want a full stack them today. But I definitely like the two-man idea for Cleveland.
Any interest in the Oakland bats here?
No.
Yeah, I mean, they're cheap. They're really cheap. So, like, if you end up on, like, a one-off here with – so, like, my favorite Oakland bat would probably be a guy like Kemp, depending on, like, if he hit towards the top of the order or something. He would be like my favorite because like he gives you some stolen base upside as well at 3,300. So if Tony Kemp hits towards the top of the order, I don't mind him as like a one-off type of play. But outside of that, I mean, there's not a ton of interest here. I mean, I don't think you're going to be using most of these guys most of the year, maybe some Seth Brown. But if I'm targeting Oakland, like I said, I think I'm looking more for like some stolen base upside, and Seth Brown can steal bases as well. So, I don't mind one-offs at the top of the order for Oakland, but not going to go out of my way to play these guys.
Yeah.
Totally. All right, Angels and Mariners. 7.5 total in this game. Seattle is a 155 favorite. Reed Dietmers against George Kirby. Dietmers is definitely stretched out. This guy was throwing 80 and 70 pitches in spring, and he's ready to go. Does that mean you have any interest in this matchup against Seattle?
This is my guy today, Stevie. I'm going to plant my flag with Dietmers, the one guy that I know is all the way stretched out. Like, and if he's pitching well, if he's at 78 pitches in the fifth, he's coming back out, right? Like, this is my guy today. He's shown some strikeout ability too, Stevie, in spring training. So I'm aboard the Dietmers train. I like Seattle's offense. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not against Seattle's offense in terms of, you know, overall. But, you know, for me, I like Dietmers here. So, you know, you look at this team against lefty, Stevie, the K rates are still high. And so Dietmers, he's my lock button today. He's my personal SP1. I'm going to rotate everyone else around him.
I'm going to get some jelly beans from Will. Will, jelly bean bet, Dietmers versus Rasmussen.
Give me Dietmers.
Oh, he's your guy.
All day. Yeah. All day.
I like Starburst ones. Those are my favorite.
Starburst, so jelly bean. All right.
I expect them to be in the mail on Tuesday. Listen, like all joking aside, so I think Dietmers is a boom bust play today. I don't know if I would lock button him, but you, I mean, you're crazy. You do your tournaments and you're chasing upside, and I get it. There's a lot of strikeouts in this lineup. I agree with you 100%. There's also a ton of power. They went out and got Teoscar Hernandez, AJ Pollock's in this lineup as well. Suarez is good against lefties. Rodriguez is good against lefties. France is good against lefties. So I, on the other hand, I would not lock button this. I don't even know if I get the Dietmers on one of my three teams, but I mean, I get why. Looking at the strikeout numbers, I get why. Knowing that his pitch count is going to be there, I get it. All of that. I hear you.
That's all it is. I'm chasing the big one, Stevie.
I love me.
Let me say this. Now, listen, I'm not going to lock button them on FanDuel because I only get one shot at this. Okay. On DraftKings is where I'm going to do it.
Yeah, fair point. Obviously, the way that you approach baseball on FanDuel and DraftKings is completely different. And if you haven't picked up on that yet, you should do some research. So, George Kirby on the other side of this game, very talented young pitcher. I worry about his pitch count big time.
Oh, no. He's not going deep. Like, not. Yeah.
I mean, they didn't say that, like, they plan on, like, they don't plan on limiting his innings from the report that I read, but the most he threw in spring training was 37 pitches. Even if he gets a 40-pitch bump, he's still not going over 80 pitches against an Angels team that's healthy for now. Well, we're just going to say they're healthy for now because that's what they are.
Yeah. I'm with you, Steve. I'm not playing Kirby. He's 8K, and I get it because, you know, they're just basing on last season, I'm sure, but zero Kirby shares for me. There's no way. I don't think he gets to 80 pitches. I don't think so.
I think it's a stretch if he goes that far. He's a good pitcher. He's a very talented young pitcher. Has upside. He has a 24% K rate. He throws efficiently. He doesn't walk people typically. Very good pitcher. Very good pitcher. With that said, looking at like his pitch counts and stuff, I worry about just how far he's going to go in this game. I mean, this is a guy they barely let go over 100 pitches. I think he went over 100 pitches one time last year. So while they're not limiting his innings, they definitely can be very careful with him at the start of the season.
It's no different than DeGrom, right? Like, DeGrom's got good stuff. But when you know he's only going to get 70 to 75 pitches, you just can't play him at 10K.
We're not comparing George Kirby to Jacob DeGrom on this show.
I know what you meant.
Of course, I just was messing with you. If anybody doesn't know, Jacob DeGrom is one of my favorite pitchers in baseball. So I'm playing a little funny with Will. All right, let's talk some bats here. George Kirby, like I said, very efficient pitcher. He's very efficient. This top of this order is really good. You know, Mike Trout, Ohtani, Renfro. You know, he has some upside. My only problem is like when you're playing Ohtani and Trout, they're just so expensive. They're 6,000 and 6,300. So like You need you almost need them both to hit home runs.
Yeah, I think that's the case. I'm going to probably one off the Angels. Like so, Steven, I know you've probably heard this like 1,000 times today. I'm really not stacking a lot of teams. I'm picking my favorite bats from each, looking at batted profile data. I'm going to stack like 3, I think, but I'm mostly going to be stacking and having some mini stacks. And I think that's what I'm going to do with the Angels. I'm not going full stack here. I'll get some Trout. I'll get some Ohtani. I'll get some Rendon. You know, and I think that's how I'm going to approach this team.
All right. Any interest in Seattle here?
Not as much. I mean, they,
You're lock button deep merge.
Yeah. So I'm not really playing anyone from Seattle.
Me, on the other hand, I'm playing people from Seattle because I'm not a crazy man. Julio Rodriguez, Ty France, Suarez, the big dumper, Mr. Cal Riley, Teoscar Hernandez, Pollock. Like, this should be a really solid team against left-handed pitching this season, assuming, you know, they move Colton Wong down in the lineup and, you know, we see Pollock or Hernandez hit higher up in the lineup. Like, this could be a very stackable team this season against lefties. A lot of power, a lot of strikeouts, like Will mentioned, a lot of walks potentially as well. So I like Seattle. I think this is a great spot for them. Whether or not you're playing Dietmers or not, I think, like, if you play Dietmers, you have them on one of your three teams, and then you stack Seattle on one of your three teams, because I could see it going either way. It's a boom bust spot for sure. Hopefully they don't middle us. But either way, I'm getting jelly beans, so I don't care. Arizona at San Diego, 8 total. Padres, a 140 favorite. We got Nelson and Weathers facing off here. Any interest in Ryan Nelson?
This is a close one for me. I'm going to say no, though. It's just my pitcher pool. This slate is pretty humongous. And even though it's a bunch of bad pitchers, Stevie, not bad, but not the top tier aces, I've got enough. So the back end of the slate, I'm just not really playing these guys.
I'm on the fence. I don't love his like minor or his spring training numbers, and a guy with a live arm for sure, big ceiling, talked about a lot in like the prospect, you know, kind of talks, you know, just in general. San Diego, they're off to kind of a slow start. I know they won a couple games over the weekend, but like the offense just isn't performing. You look at the bottom half of the order and it's not that good. So I think if you're playing 150 teams today, Nelson potentially cracks the lineup. My only concern is like Bogarts, Machado, Cruz, Kim, Nola, they have enough righties in this lineup to potentially make Nelson pay. That's my concern. But
and Soto didn't strike out a ton to anybody. So that's another problem.
Yeah, Soto's a good hitter. It's just the concern is out for Soto is he an elite power hitter or not? And I don't think
No. I don't think that at all. But he's going to
right. count on him enough. The other side of this game is Ryan Weathers, and he's not good. That's just being nice. Like, this guy, he struggles. I don't want to play Weathers here. This might be one of the only times he struggled at the big league level and the AAA level last year.
Yep, not doing it. Not doing it.
Arizona bats. Like, so this is the problem, right? They don't have a lot of power against left-handed pitching. They have Marte, they got Gurriel, they got Walker. Then it kind of gets shaky on who's in and who's potentially out of the lineup here. What are your thoughts on Arizona?
Yeah, I like Arizona as a little mini stack here. That's the thing. Like, I think it's because of the pricing, Stevie. So it's less about their power upside and more about their pricing upside, if that makes any sense. So I like the pricing. You talk about Gurriel, 4,100. That's cheap. You know, you've got our good friend, Mr. Marte. Once again, and these guys, they'll have a little bit of stolen base upside. He's 4,400. Once again, you already talked about Walker. You play those three guys, and you're already pretty much set and are close to a stack right off the bat. So I like him a ton. I'm sure You know, you got Nick Ahmed at 2,200. He'll probably crack the lineup today if you want to stack this team. And so I can play them. And on a team like this, Stevie, I can probably get away with playing Acuna at 6,200. And that's really what this team allows us to do. We just need them to poke the ball around a couple of times. Somebody hit a double, somebody hit a triple, you know, jack in a bag, and we're right there.
Yeah, another guy that I just want to throw out there that didn't get a ton of at-bats last year that might just kind of go overlooked and not project well is Kyle Lewis, played with Seattle. Dealt with a lot of injuries. If he cracks the lineup, he's 2,300. And
which he probably will.
I would assume. Yeah. I would assume he plays. I would assume him and Thomas kind of switch out maybe. Who knows? I mean, it's so early in the season. We don't know what we're looking at as far as lineups yet.
Yeah. Because I don't think they're going to sit Carroll. I think they want Carroll to play right now.
I think they want him to be an everyday player.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to sit him.
All right, San Diego bats, any interest here in the Padres?
Yep, just stats. Nothing crazy. You know, take the main guys and roll them through.
Yeah, I mean, Xander Bogaerts, Manny Machado would be the two that I build around here. Kim is someone that has shown a little bit of upside to start the season. So, I mean, that's kind of where I would attack this young pitcher. We finish it out with Rockies and Dodgers, 9 total. Dodgers a 240 favorite. Ryan Feltner against Mike Grove. Any interest here in Feltner?
No. The Dodgers aren't the same team. I'm still not playing Ryan Feltner today.
I mean, there's going to be pitchers that we target against the Dodgers this year because this lineup does not look great. Yep. But I don't know if this is necessarily – I don't know if this is necessarily the spot.
If this was Marquez, I would consider it. For what it's worth.
I think we're going to have that matchup maybe by the end of the week. So maybe we talk about it more there. Any interest here in Grove on the other side?
Stevie, this one was a tough one for me. 5,600. I think he gets 4 innings here. I think he gets 4 to 5 innings. That's what I think.
I think he gets 85 pitches.
Yeah. So I think I'm in on Grove at 5,600. I think I have to be.
Yeah, I mean, they need him to go 2 or 3 starts here before sending him back down. So
yeah.
I think if they could get 80, 85 pitches out of him here, you know, if he throw, I think 5 clean innings, I think would be really good for Grove. He's 5,600. I mean, his slider is really good. Like, so we need to like dig in a little bit on slider stats. Like, this is why this guy is a prospect. He has a very above average slider. So kind of looking at the Rockies against sliders, Chris Bryant hits sliders well, Charlie Blackman hits sliders well, but there's also a lot of high whiff rates here. So I could see Grove having 5 strong innings, striking out 3 to 5 people, maybe giving up a run or two. I just don't know if that's enough at 5,600 today.
Yep. I'm with you. Totally get it.
He might be in my player pool just because we don't have a ton of options today. And I really like going through this slate. Like, this might be a slate that like I go 20 entry max instead of playing three entry max. Cause Stevie,
this is my favorite slate.
I like this slate, man.
There's not like slam dunk plays. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, yep. I love it.
I mean, Rasmussen is definitely a slam dunk, but I'm just messing with you now. Let's talk Rockies bats. I mean, looking at these slider numbers, I think you have to have a little interest here in Blackman. I think you have to have a little interest in Bryant. And I think you have a little interest in McMahon. They all hit sliders very well.
Definitely like Blackman, Stevie, at 4,400. You know, I think I've got enough pitchers today where I don't have to play him against Grove for what it's worth. You know, this, but Blackman is definitely at the top of my list here in terms of one-off players. Once again, another guy, Stevie, that all we need is a walk or a bloop single, and he's probably going to take off at some point, especially if they go pick off twice. So once again, man, this new rule has me very excited, and we're getting Blackman at 4,400, which is, I think, very reasonable, even though he's away from Coors. So love him a ton.
Yeah, I mean, you throw in Blackman, McMahon, and Bryan, it's not that expensive as like a 3-man stack.
Yeah.
As far as the Dodgers go, I mean, Muncy's banged up now too. I mean, he wasn't available Sunday with the groin. So I think he'll be out for this game. I highly doubt he cracks the lineup here. I mean, gosh, the Dodgers are a team that we played for years, and I love stacking the Dodgers. Trace Thompson's cheap. He should crack the lineup. Altman's cheap. He should crack the lineup. Like, we could play Betts and Freeman. We could play Betts, Freeman, and Smith, these top-end guys, and we have cheap bats to go around them. So, I mean, I think the Dodgers are in play today.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I know I kind of mentioned Peralta there, but listen, man, I like Peralta. He's a guy that at 3,500, I'm hoping he has kind of a resurgence with some of these better bats ahead of him. I could be wrong, and you know, I'll look at the data as we progress along. But you said it best. You got Betts at 61. You've got Freddie at 57. So you got to pay for the big bats. But once again, I can come and get Peralta and Trace and Altman. You know, I can get some of these bottom of the order guys, and this stack still works just fine because I'm paying all the way up and I'm paying all the way down. It balances it out. So love this stack a ton today.
All right, morning grind game, and then we will get out of here. If you're hanging out with us on YouTube, feel free to play along the morning grind game with us. Under 8,000 to get six or more strikeouts using DraftKings pricing. Who do you like?
I'm going to go with my guy, Steve. You know, we talked about it, talked about how his spring training ended up. Give me Mr. Boyd.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I think it's tough down here. Like, looking under 8K.
Under 8K is tough today. Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think I know your guy.
I mean, I have to go Brown, right? Yeah, I think I have to go Hunter Brown. Because even if he only gets four or five innings, I mean, the strikeout ability is just massive here. Over 8K to score under 15. Who's your bust today?
Jose Berrios. Not even close.
I like that one. Yeah, I like that one too. Part of me wants to say Charlie Morton because I really am concerned. But I'll go Tajon Walker. I really like the Yankees bats today.
Got it.
Over 4,000 to hit a home run. Who's going yard?
Oh, man. I really, like, really, 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 really like the Braves today. Give me Olsen.
Oh, you took my guy. No shit. You took my guy.
This is like the second time this has happened.
I know. What is going on? I didn't think you would take Olsen. All right, you got
me. I really like the Braves today, man.
I don't want to take Judge. Hold on. Got me rattled. He got me. All right. This is perfect. This is actually perfect. Give me Julio Rodriguez against Dietmers. listen, Olsen had a fantastic spring for what it's worth, and he looks locked in. He looks locked in at the plate. I also like O'Neal Cruz. I just don't know if I don't know if I'd pick him for like a home run play. Reynolds? Anyway. All right. Give me a guy under 4,000 to get two hits.
Give me. See, this is my tough one. But I'm gonna ride with how I think this game is gonna go. He's right under. Give me Justin Turner at 3,900.
All right. Give me AJ Pollock against Dietmers. And that one wasn't planned. I actually do like Pollock a lot. Very good contact hitter. Also, we didn't really talk about him too much, but Evan Longoria is 3,500. And I know he's getting towards the end of his career, but he's also throughout his career been very good against left-handed pitching. And Weathers is very hittable. Give me a stack to score six or more runs today.
I am not going to go to the Braves. I love them a ton. Stevie, sign me up. I don't like this pitcher anyway today. Give me the Kansas City Royals.
All right, I like it. I like the Pittsburgh Pirates today. I'm super concerned about my Red Sox. I'm very concerned about the – yeah, very concerned about – the bullpen, I'm concerned about the Sox, and I think that we're going to see a lot of high-scoring Red Sox games today. Richie Small agrees with me. He picked the Pittsburgh Pirates as well. Will, always a blast, my friend. We will save fantasy pick and plays and bets for next time. We're over our time a little bit here. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Negative.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for Sunday night for YouTube, Monday for people listening on the podcast. Again, if you haven't already, go over to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind YouTube page and subscribe. I think we're at like 250 subscribers. I really want to hit 1,000 before the end of the year. I don't ask for much. Help us out. All right, that's it. Hope everyone had a fantastic weekend. We'll be back tomorrow talking some more baseball. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you then.